Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
If we're going to have a serious debate on when a fetus becomes a human being, to bring the race element in, like because of someone's race, they should be therefore automatically on one side, I think is divisive.
Scientifically, biologically, that child in the womb at the moment of conception is a human being.
Our troops come from every corner of this country. They're black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American. They are Christian and Hindu, Jewish and Muslim. And yes, we know that some of them are gay.
You must now give yourself to Christ. That's law, and the law cannot produce spiritually good works.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
The news stories from about 10 days ago out of Philadelphia, an abortionist who, well, the picture that it paints in the mind is too grisly to imagine. This doctor that had wounded and led to the death of women and then of countless unborn children and born children faces now multiple murder charges for his crimes there in Philadelphia. And yet, that was 2 days before the anniversary of Roe v. Wade when that was uncovered by the police there. A couple days later, our president, President Barack Obama, was standing and heralding Roe v. Wade 38 years ago as a triumph for women's reproductive freedom and their health. We're going to contrast those two things with Colleen Carroll Campbell here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 27th of January. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell, Pastor Heath Curtis will join us. We'll remember, along with the church, late 4th century, early 5th century, Bishop of Antioch, later Patriarch of Constantinople, none other than John Chrysostom, a great preacher in his day, and even, we'll find out a little bit later, in our day as well. We'll round off this hour of Issues Etc. in part 4 of our 5-part daily series on the Crusades. Today we'll talk about Pope Innocent III, who took the Crusade to a whole new level in terms of its promotion and its preaching. We'll talk about the Fourth Crusade as well. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Set these two things side by side. The grisly story, apparently now decades-long crimes being committed in Philadelphia by this abortion provider, right about the time when the president needs to say something about 38 years of legalized abortion here in the U.S.
Yes, it was 2 days before the anniversary of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, the companion cases handed down by the Supreme Court in 1973 that effectively legalized abortion on demand. Roe v. Wade included a few bans on late-term abortions, but Doe v. Bolton gutted them the same day by creating this wide-open health exemption. So you've got those cases, the anniversary, looming in 2 days. We've got the 200-some thousand marchers for life on the National Mall, another 40 to 50,000 marching for life on the San Francisco waterfront, pockets of counter-protesters, pro-choicers on both coasts, and President Barack Obama issuing his annual ode to what he calls women's health and reproductive freedom, and what he described as the principle that government should not intrude on private family matters. On this issue, at least, President Obama is sort of casting himself as a libertarian. So you've got all of that, and 2 days before this much celebrated and reviled anniversary, we get the news about Dr. Kermit Gosnell in West Philadelphia, ran an abortion clinic for 30-some years legally, with basically no oversight from the government, where he was performing late-term abortions with the community's knowledge, What some people at least did not know, although the grand jury report insinuates that actually a lot of people knew and looked the other way, what some did not know at least was the way he was conducting these abortions, using untrained assistants posing as doctors in a clinic that had unsterilized medical instruments that helped spread venereal disease, a clinic that reeked of cat urine, had bloody furniture and blankets, a padlocked emergency exit. The abortion provider kept the remains of the babies that he aborted all over the clinic. He had piles of medical waste in the basement. He had aborted fetuses in the freezer and refrigerator. He had them in milk jugs, orange juice cartons, shoe boxes, cat food bins, and he had the nasty little habit of keeping jars of tiny feet from his from the victims of his practice in strewn around his office. He said he liked to keep them for research, although it was unclear to anyone who worked for him what exactly he was doing with them. So it's a grisly case. Two women at least died at his hands. He's been charged with the third-degree murder of one of them. He's also been charged with the first-degree murder of seven infants because of his practice of basically giving women labor-inducing drugs, having them give birth to live babies, and then doing something he called snipping, which was basically jamming a scissors in the back of the baby's neck and severing his spinal cord to do what he called ensuring fetal demise. And he did this on very late-term babies, well past viability, like the 30-week-old 6-pound boy whose spine he snipped after joking to an assistant that the baby could walk me to the bus stop. So it's a revolting story. Abortion rights activists have jumped on it and reminded us to look the other way. This is not about abortion. This is about one rogue doctor who actually broke the law. He certainly did break the law in terms of the 2002 Born Alive Infants Protection Act that was signed into law by President George W. Bush, which says that an infant that survives an abortion is entitled to a right to life. Interestingly, though, our current president, President Obama, voted three times as an Illinois state senator against the state version of that law, saying that once you enact something like that, you're on a slippery slope toward outlawing abortion. So this is the president that's talking about private family decisions and women's reproductive freedom and health, in contrast to a story that I think reminds us that abortion may be legal in this country, but it is not safe, and it is certainly not rare.
So when you hear President Obama say that 38 years of legalized abortion has safeguarded women's reproductive rights and their health, what is your response to that, your frank response as a woman?
Well, it's absolute garbage. It simply is. And all you need to know, all you need to do to figure that out, you can certainly look at cases like this one. And unfortunately, while the Gosnell story is particularly grisly, it's not the first time we've heard about these abortion providers being abusive and cavalier toward women and their health in the practice of their deadly arts. You can also go to a march like the March for Life and see the scores of women out there holding signs saying, "I regret my abortion. Abortion hurts women." When you listen to women talk frankly, those who've had abortions, they're not talking about liberation, and they're not talking about a choice that they celebrate. That's very, very rare. We see a couple of abortion rights activists use that kind of language. It's extraordinarily rare because that's not how most women perceive this. And when you see surveys of abortion, those who've received abortions, as to why they made this choice, it's overwhelmingly a litany of complaints about lack of choice, feelings that they were pressured into it by boyfriends or parents, by financial difficulties and all the rest. We know, of course, with all the options out there that we as the pro-life community attempt to give these women, that's, you know, there no woman should have to choose abortion. But yet many women who do feel very much like they didn't have other choices, and they don't describe it as something that feels liberating, and certainly not years later when they're still dealing with what's been described as post-abortion syndrome, affecting women to varying degrees for years, sometimes decades afterward. This is not a liberating choice, and I think the Gosnell story reminds us it's not safe and doesn't have a lot to do with ensuring women's health either. It's really rather arbitrary, the limits that we have on abortion, because as this story reminds us, it's so easy to cross those lines, these arbitrary lines that we've created as to what's an acceptable abortion and what's an outrageous one.
In that vein, you say at the end of your column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that there's a question that should be asked of abortion rights defenders, even President Obama himself. What is that question, with 1 minute, Colleen?
Well, it springs from what this abortion doctor in Philadelphia asked at his own arraignment. He asked the judge, and this is a quote, he said, "Is it possible you could explain the seven counts?" And he was referring to the seven counts of murder. He said, "I understand the one count because of the patient who died, but not the others." In other words, who are these seven people I supposedly murdered? Well, you know, we could really ask President Obama and other abortion rights defenders the same question. Could you explain why he could legally, you know, kill thousands upon thousands of infants up to, say, 24 weeks, or even later than that, as long as he killed them within the birth canal? But as soon as their head starts poking out, that's a murder. Can you explain the difference? Morally, can you explain it? Even medically, in a sense, can you explain it? And for that matter, can President Obama and other abortion rights defenders explain exactly how, in a nation that permits clinics like Gosnell's to function with impunity, and an estimated 50 million children to be aborted since 1973, how can we say that Roe has made abortion safe, legal, and rare? Which is, of course, the favorite phrase of pro-choice politicians like Bill Clinton, who first used it. There really is no good explanation, and I think there's an eerie silence when we pose those kinds of questions, and that's why politicians like Obama talk about women's health and freedom, and they never use the A word when celebrating the Roe anniversary, because to talk about abortion is to admit that what we're allowing here is not a right to privacy, it's a right to kill an innocent human being.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, St. John Chrysostom with Pastor Heath Curtis. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.